is a rough transition from that to David Brooks, New York Times columnist. That's kind of a jarring thing there. That, oh, kind of stay in that place for a minute. So I read an article this week that was summarizing a book by David Brooks, who is a New York Times columnist, and his book is called The Road to Character. And in The Road to Character, one of the things Brooks talks about, he describes two kinds of virtues. He says there are resume virtues and eulogy virtues, and that they're different from each other. Resume virtues are what you carry with you into the marketplace. It's how you describe, you know, here's where I went to school, here's the work that I've done, here are my awards and my honors that are reasons why you would want me to be part of your organization, trying to persuade you of my worthiness. That's a resume virtue. A eulogy virtue, by comparison, is in a way a summation of who you have been. A eulogy virtue, obviously, is something that's said about you at your eulogy. So at your to the time of your funeral, and it's an evaluation of our lives, what we have accomplished in our lives. Things like compassion and caring and giving and loving. And the point is not that resume virtues are not worthwhile. Those are important. It's important to be able to describe yourself in such a way that people may want to have you work for them. But that those are, at the same time, fleeting. They are important in a moment, but they never really describe who you are in a deep and meaningful way. They describe your qualifications in a way that the things that you've accumulated or the things that you've accomplished. Eulogy virtues, on the other hand, do get to a depth about you. They describe who you are as a person, how people have perceived you, how people have experienced you over time. Our lives, day to day, the way that we invest our time, you have a finite amount of time, and so you make choices about how you are going to invest that time. And the reality for us, for much of our lives, often, especially in a younger portion of our lives and into our middle years, but a lot of our time and our energy and effort is put into the resume virtues, because we're caught up in that world of accomplishment and of needing to be able to point to these things. But even then, in a quiet moment, when we reflect on how we would like to be remembered when that time comes, it is typically not, I want to be remembered by the square footage of my house or what I got in my classes in college or in high school or any of those things that are a part of building up that resume identity, the resume virtues. We want to be remembered by who we were, by the impact we had on people. And we would love for them to remember us well, that we treated people well, that we were kind, that we were generous, that we were caring, that as people of faith, we would like for people to say they lived by the golden rule. They took that seriously, and that guided them, that we loved God. And we didn't just say we loved God, but we lived our faith in such a way that it was obvious that we loved God. Now, I'm not making this up. I can tell you, because having done a number of funerals, and oftentimes I will ask people as we're preparing for what's going to be said at the funeral, I will say, please tell me anything you want to be sure is said about your loved one. Tell me anything you want to make sure that is said out loud in a public place so that people will know this is how we felt and this is what we believe was at the core of this person. And the answers will come back things like this. Please say, so that everyone knows that he loved his family, that his family was his heart. Or say that she was the best mother. There was not a better mother. Make sure that you say that, that she was so kind and loving and generous to us. She was the best mother. Say that he would give you the shirt off his back. Make sure you say that. Make sure that you say he would do anything for someone who is in need. Or say that even though she was always busy, she always made time for other people. Those are the kinds of things that people, when they are at that moment of saying goodbye to someone they care deeply about, they want you to say out loud about that person so that people will know what was at the core of that person. In Timothy this morning, Paul has reached a place in his life where he is thinking seriously about these things for himself. He is thinking about his own life. We think of Paul as this post-conversion, this dynamic guy who travels from place to place. And I've said before, if you actually get the map out and you look at all the places he went, it is staggering to think about the journeys he made, largely on foot most likely, and the amount of road, the difficult terrain, but just the activity of his life in addition to what he did when he got to places and the impact he made for the church and the way that he began new faith communities and did so in, just in bold and dynamic ways. But he's past that. He knows as he's writing this letter to Timothy that those days are probably past and that he's looking the end squarely in the face at this point. He is most likely at this point in a Roman prison, and there's going to be no more missionary journeys. And so he's thinking about his life, what he's done, and what does it mean? And he writes to Timothy, his protege, the one who, in a way, he sees as the next generation version of himself, the one who's continuing the work, the one that now that Paul himself will not be doing it, is being handed to Timothy. And he says to Timothy this, he says, I'm already being poured out like a sacrifice to God, and the time of my death is near. It's not a regretful tone, it's just a factual tone. He's saying, this is where I am, and I know that. And so there are some things that I want to say to you in your more youthful years that I have learned over the course of time. Paul's seeing that his ministry is largely behind him at this point, and he is focusing on what David Brooks calls the eulogy virtues. So what he says next, then, is a description of how he believes he has spent his life and how he hopes he will be remembered and how he hopes Timothy will live his life. He says, I have fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. At last, the champion's wreath that is awarded for righteousness is waiting for me. The Lord, who is the righteous judge, is going to give it to me on that day. He's giving it not only to me, but also to all those who have set their heart on waiting for his appearance. Back in August, I think it was towards the beginning of August, but as we were one morning having one of these discussions, I shared with you that I was planning at that point to run in the Urban Bourbon Half Marathon to be held in Louisville. And half marathon, the distance is 13.1 miles. It has been a long time since I've approached that kind of mileage. So it was coming up. And I told you that I actually had only run that distance in a kind of a competition once before, which was in 2011, and it was memorable because it was miserable. It was an awful experience. I didn't prepare well for it, and I thought I was going to die for about 6 hours after the race was over that day. And so having done it, I decided I wanted to do it again and have the experience of doing it and not just completing it, but enjoying it and not feeling necessarily like I would die at the end. So that became my goal. With that goal in mind, I found a 12-week training program, and it told me every day what I was supposed to do on that day. I will say that of the 12 weeks, I was really good for 8 of those weeks. I followed that thing to the T on 8 of those weeks. Then on 2 of those weeks, I was okay. Yeah, kind of maybe did a little different here or there, mixed it up a little bit, but not entirely wrong. And on 2 of those weeks, I was really bad. Like I didn't follow it nearly as like I was supposed to for a variety of reasons, but I recognized that. I did not follow it exactly as I was supposed to. Those of you who follow along on the church's Facebook page know that over the course of time, I was posting updates about where I was as we were getting closer. And what happened is, after talking with you about it back in August, some of y'all were very regular in saying, how's it going? You know, how's the training going? Are you still doing it? And people would comment on the post, good job, keep it up. And I gotta tell you, that is so helpful. I mean, that was a big part of the reason is back at the beginning, I said, I need people to hold me accountable for this and to say, are you doing the thing that you said you want to do? And so you all did that, and thank you for that. In the end, which was last Saturday morning, not yesterday, but a week ago Saturday, it worked. Good. It worked out. So I finished, and I enjoyed it. Good. And I only felt slightly like I was going to die. And for a much shorter time. My time was 2 hours, 14 minutes, and 20 seconds, which is only 1 hour and 16 minutes off the world record. But I was happy. I was happy with it. Paul wants Timothy to be happy with a much more important race than a 13.1-mile foot race. Paul wants him to be happy in what he's wanting Timothy to imagine as the race of life. He wants him to imagine that there's a race that begins when you're born, and it continues until you draw your last breath. And you want to run the whole thing as well as you can and as faithfully as you can, this race of your lives. This set of days that God has given to you. Paul wants Timothy to complete the race well. And he's writing this letter, I think, assuming that the church where Timothy is working will overhear, and that whoever else will overhear, and that we will overhear. Paul wants for us to run the race well. He wants for us to be happy, and beyond that, he wants for God to be happy with the race that we run. And for us to experience that joy of having completed the race, not just for ourselves, but for that smiling greeting of God at the conclusion. What Paul knew and what I learned is that if you want happy results, you must be training along the way. You don't just wish for all those wonderful things that come with the eulogy virtues. You work at it throughout your life so that it becomes who you are. So that people can honestly say at your core what a meaningful, important person you were in their lives because of your kindness, your grace, your generosity, your compassion. Those are real things that don't just happen, but that you have to cultivate in your life. Set a goal. Set a goal of faithfulness. Set a goal of allowing God's grace to show forth through you. Sometimes, maybe 8 weeks out of 12, you will be happy with your effort. You will say, I've done that. I've accomplished that thing that I've aimed to do. I've been faithful. Maybe there'll be a couple weeks in there where you'll be like, I could have done better. I wasn't quite as faithful as I could have been, but I'm trying. And maybe there'll be a couple weeks ago, you go, I don't know what happened. I'm not sure what I was doing there, but I hope those couple weeks were not the ones that defined me. I hope there are some better ones around that that lift those up. But if you're working at it, really making that effort to be the person who God has created you to be, it can make all the difference. Here is a secret. I like saying things like that. Here's the secret. It makes people lean forward. What? What's the secret? Here's the secret. It is never just our race. We're not doing this by ourselves. It is never just me and nobody else is around, and it's just me and my effort. It is never just our race alone. Trying to do it by ourselves makes a very doable task nearly impossible. If you attempt to do it on your own and say, I don't need anyone else to help me to be the person that God wants me to be, it will become a very uphill thing. But if you let others come alongside and you support them and they support you, it becomes that much more possible and that much more doable. Because I shared with you that I would be running, many of you were super encouraging. I mean, nobody was coming around and going, you done that thing you said you were going to do? Figured you wouldn't. It was helpful. It was encouraging. How's it going? And it makes you want to be what you said you were going to be. And it works the same way with faith. The more we share with the other people who we want to be and what we want to be for God, the more likely we're going to be able to have that kind of conversation with the people around us. Are you doing those things? Are you being accountable? Are you living the way that you think that you want to live? To know people are going to hold us accountable in love is such an amazing and powerful gift in our relationship with God and in our spiritual formation. To experience the care that comes from folks and to be able to give that kind of care to others. Presbyterian Women's Fall Gathering was here yesterday. And I will say that I've been to just a few of them, and I know the women have been to many of them, but I have never heard them come back and say entirely that there was nothing about the program that they didn't, that it was just, I wish we hadn't gone. Always I hear kind of, the program was good, sometimes better than others. The food was good, never as good as ours, but, but the food is good. There'll be special music, there'll be some sort of presentation, but the content is always there. But I think that whether it's the worship or the speaker or the quality of the meal, none of those things are the thing. That's the most important thing about whether it's the fall gathering or the spring gathering of the Presbyterian women. It's the being together. It's being gathered. It's the gathering of the larger body of Christ. I walked around just as people were having the fellowship time before we came over for the program in the sanctuary yesterday. Then I walked around as people were having lunch and listened to the conversation. And it sounded like the kind of conversations you hear at a family reunion. That's exactly the vibe that was in the room. People catching up with people they hadn't seen since the last time they had this kind of gathering. And checking in, how are you doing? What was happening with you last time and how are you doing now? And asking, noticing who's not here from a particular group that's always there and asking after that person, where's so-and-so that's always with you? And hearing about that person and not just hearing about them but saying, hey, tell them we missed them. That kind of level of care, hugs and smiles and well wishes and those greetings sent to those who are missed because they are absent. All those folks who experience that know this. They know that they are not alone in the race. Nobody's out there running by themselves with nobody to help them or pick them up if they fall or stumble. There's somebody running alongside of them, and they all care enough about each other that they're going to help each one make it to that finish line and lift each other up and celebrate at the end. Paul knew that as he thought about the race that he had run, that even though he's towards the end of it, and even though he's physically, literally alone, he talks about that in that passage, that he's not really. The God's with him there in that aloneness, which makes him not alone. And Timothy, who he's writing that letter to, is right there with him, in that spiritual sense that nothing can remove from him. And he wanted to share that with Timothy because he knows Timothy's going to go through the same thing. It won't always be easy. It won't always be wonderful. It won't always feel great. But he wants to say that you are not alone. You will never be alone when you're on this journey. Always you will have the body of Christ around you, supporting you and encouraging you. It spoke to Timothy and it continues to speak to us. This is not to say that the resume virtues are unimportant. That kind of thing is practical and it is important and it's the world we live in, and so we have to work on those things as well. But what it is to say that the eulogy virtues are the ones that will be remembered. They're the ones that we most want to cultivate. So here are the words of Paul. Let us aim to fight the good fight, finish the race, keep the faith for all of our days. Thanks be to God. Amen.